We're joined by Jaree Longman. He's been a sports reporter for the New York Times since October of 1993. Good morning, Jaree Longman.
Jim, good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to talk with you. And in Monday's New York Times, a great feature, front page on the sports section, about a gentleman from Lafayette High School, Armand Mondo Duplantis. He's called the Tiger Woods of pole vaulting. You captured his story in all its glory, and there is a lot of that, isn't there?
Yes. So the Duplantis family is a family that would be recognizable probably to a lot of LSU fans. They all went to LSU, and they were all highly accomplished athletes. Greg Duplantis, the father, was a All-American pole vaulter in the 80s. His wife, Helena, a native of Sweden, was a volleyball player and a heptathlete. The oldest son, the oldest of three sons, Andreas, was a finished third in SEC pole vaulting once at their indoor championships. The middle son, Antoine, is an outfielder currently on the LSU baseball team and recently set the school record with six hits in a game against Georgia, I believe. So they're a highly accomplished family. And then the youngest son, Armand, who is known as Mondo, 17, a junior at Lafayette High School, has the highest pole vault in the world this year at 19 feet 4 and a quarter inches. It's the, you know, it's by far the national high school record. It's a world junior record for jumpers under 20 years old. And the same jump at the Olympics last summer in Rio would have won a bronze medal. So, you know, it's pretty spectacular accomplishment for somebody who's 17 years old in an event where most pole vaulters don't reach their prime until you know, in their late 20s. And Mondo is a medal candidate at the World Track and Field Championships in London that'll be coming up in August. So it's a pretty extraordinary accomplishment.
Yeah, only a high school junior, and this 19 feet 4.5 inches, that would have been the world record not long ago, Pole vaulting is something that is a demanding activity, and you would think that people who do this would be tall and built like basketball players, but that's not the case. This guy is a regular-sized man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's, you know, like most high school juniors, he hasn't filled out yet. He's, you know, 5'10", 145 pounds, and many of the, you know, world elite pole vaulters are over 6 feet tall and heavier. And the reason that can mean something is that, as you say, it's probably the most technically demanding event in track and field, so it requires this sort of gymnastic, jarring transition from horizontal movement to vertical lift. And to do that, you have to be able to handle be able to bend these poles and handle the recoiling energy. And not everybody his age can handle the size poles that he's jumping on.
Is there the prospect that he's just going to get better and better, or at some point soon, will that stop?
You know, that's right. That's the big question, right? He hopes to be able to jump 19 feet 8.25 inches this year. So he's already among the elite pole vaulters, but you know, there are, you know, we know of all kinds of stories, right? Of high school kids who sort of peak in high school and never get better. I mean, the leading high school scorer in American basketball history is Greg Purcell from Ebarb in Sabine Parish in West Louisiana, yet he never, you know, after high school, he never had a great college career. So there was a pole vaulter named Casey Kerrigan from Washington State who made the Olympic team for the 1968 Summer Olympics in Mexico City. You know, he competed, and he had some bad luck, and then his, you know, career kind of went into anticlimax. So, you know, it's just impossible to tell whether, you know, this high school phenom can translate into an Olympic star. But on the other hand, you know, his coach is his father, who was an elite jumper. His mother also coaches him. So, as one of the former world record holders told me, you know, there's not a red flag. He's in a good position because he has people who know what kind of training and what kind of patience, maybe most importantly, it takes to be a very good pole vaulter.
Where does he plan on attending college?
Well, that's another great question. So, you know, he's got another year of high school, but the question becomes, You know, do you remain an amateur or do you go professional? And the higher he jumps, probably the harder it will be for him financially and competitively to remain an amateur. So his father says, you know, at 17 years old, this kid is not ready to you know, roam Europe and Asia and other places competing in track meets. So they've got a another year to figure it out. If he goes anywhere, he'll go to LSU for at least, you know, a couple of years. But then, you know, the question becomes, you know, if obviously other high school jumpers and even some college jumpers are not providing you with regular competition, what do you do? And I mean, that's a that's the difficult question facing the family.
We're going to remember the name Mondo Duplantis, and he has received some publicity locally, but not a great deal, and it's great that he was on the front page of the sports section of the New York Times. I understand he's quite a lively young man.
Very self-confident. I thought it was an interesting anecdote. He, you know, risk is inherent in pole vaulting, right? So he actually hosts a weekly poker game with friends, that they, you know, the buy-in is about $15 or $20, but he's been, you know, as all these guys are who are pole vaulters, they're daredevils. His father told a funny story that when Mondo was in diapers, he, you know, got out of the house one day and climbed the neighbor's crepe myrtle tree in Lafayette, and some panicked passerby called 911. He and his brothers used to, you know, skateboard off the roof, and, they, you know, Mondo started pole vaulting as a, you know, as a young kid with broomsticks in the living room, and then, you know, moved up to the point where they have an actual 125-foot-long runway in their yard. It runs from the side yard beneath a gate into the backyard with a, you know, regulation landing pit. But he's jumping so high now that he hasn't used the pit lately because, you know, there's a brick wall next to the pit, and if a high jump like that goes sideways, you know, if it has padding on the wall, but that may not be enough. So he's doing his training at Lafayette High School. And as his father said, he's leaving the pit to field mice and possums.
Well, Jaree Longman of the New York Times covers all sports, and tonight is NFL draft. And a listener wanted me to ask you about the LSU players, Jamal Adams, Leonard Fournette. It looks like they'll go very high in the draft, and one of them might even go to the Eagles.
Yeah, it looks like it. Although the latest thing I was reading in the paper today in Philadelphia is that where the draft is being held is that maybe they would go for defensive end. But yeah, Jamal Adams and Leonard appear to be, you know, very high picks. I think most people have Jamal probably in the top five and Leonard anywhere from 4 to 8. You never know with these things, right? But they clearly are very, very high prospects.
Well, one analyst predicts that the Eagles will find a way to get Fournette, even if they have to trade, and that would be interesting if you had three LSU stars in Philadelphia and Aaron Nola, Ben Simmons, and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Mills is a defensive back also with the Eagles. You know, it's, believe me, Philadelphia needs somebody to kickstart their pro sports team. We're into the third year now in Philadelphia where none of the pro sports teams have made the playoffs. So, and Aaron Nola just went on the disabled list with a lower back strain. So, you know, they could use somebody to sort of get them over the hump in sports. You know, the Eagles are like the Saints that have, well, no, unlike the Saints, the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl, so they won the NFL championship in 1960, and they have not, you know, they have been in the Super Bowl but never won it.
They have a coach from Louisiana, though.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson. Now,
they do, yeah.
Yeah, and some people might find it amusing or interesting that you're from or cover for the New York Times and live in Philadelphia.
Well, I've been at the Times my 24th year, but I previously worked at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I cover international sports, and I travel all the time, so they don't particularly care where you live.
And, Jaree, you and I both owe it all to Jim Featherston.
Yeah, so Mr. Featherston was one of my professors at LSU, and my favorite story about him is that he was working in the Dallas County Courthouse the day of the Kennedy assassination, and
he came. You're short on time, so make it fast.
So He came out of the courthouse and spotted these two women who had taken photographs in Dealey Plaza. So he grabbed the camera, got the film, and had it published. And they referred to him in the Warren Commission as that damn Featherston. So that's one of I thought.